Welcome back, everyone. Our guest, yours and mine, is Mrs. Karen Wright Marsh, who is in Virginia. And we are talking about saints and sinners. And one person that we're talking about now, we're getting ready to look into in more depth, is somebody who really, really struggled, Karen, and that is Augustine.
Right. Yes, we think of Augustine as one of the, or Augustine, as some say, as one of the great heroes of the Christian faith. He was born in the 4th century. I mean, so long ago, you would think that this guy, we could have nothing in common with him. But Augustine was born in North Africa at the time of the Roman Empire. And I love to remind people that he's one of our first African saints. Yes. But he was born to a Christian mother named Monica, who wanted so badly for her son to be to follow Christ, but he would have none of it. He was a very rowdy teenager. He had a record of drinking and stealing. He was in this group of boys. They call themselves the Wreckers. So I live in a college town, so for me, that says fraternity, which is not good every day. But at 18, he had a baby with his girlfriend. So, you know, we look at this guy at 18 and we think, here's a wild child who would never be seen, you know, in a church or following Christ. And he went off to the University of Carthage, which was there in North Africa, and was captivated by the philosophy of Cicero and loved the study of rhetoric. And he Augustine was a real intellectual, and he became a teacher, professor, and went across the ocean to Rome and got a teaching job in Milan in Italy. And this is, again, this is the time of the Roman Empire. His mother, Monica, was praying and praying and praying. And she even went to her local pastor, and she said, "Pastor, what do I do with my child? He is, you know, just, we will not follow Christ. He is just a hopeless case." And the pastor said, "You know, all you can do is pray."
Yes.
"And pray and pray. We know that the tears of a faithful parent, you know, are always heard in some way." So she prayed, and Augustine partied on. But he ran into a preacher named Ambrose, who was the bishop of Milan. And Augustine was taken by Ambrose because Ambrose was a really wonderful preacher and a very smart person. He was a real intellectual, and I think Augustine could respect this man who was both a Christian and an intellectual. So he was interested in Christianity and he was sort of drawn to it. But Augustine talks about how his own habits, his own pleasure, his own desires, were things that he just couldn't give up. And he even prayed in his confession. He wrote a memoir called His Confession. And he says, "God, grant me chastity, but not yet."
Yes.
Which I think is so funny because, he just had this idea, a growing sense that God was real, that he wanted to follow God and give his life, but he just couldn't give up his habits and his pleasures. And so when we read his story, he just goes back and forth and back and forth, you know, struggling and struggling to give up his life and come into a full relationship with God. So I just identify so much with this guy who, you know, sometimes we know what's good for us and we know what kind of life we want to lead, and we just can't quite step into that because we know we'll give some things up.
And, you know, you make a good point because some people might think about what you just said. He was praying to God for chastity. He wanted to become sexually pure, but not now. And we hear him say, "but not now." Some might conclude that he wasn't really sincere when he was asking for the chastity. But he really meant that. He really wanted to become sexually pure. He knew that's the way it should be. And it was something he wanted, but just not as much as he wanted what he already had, and that was that sexual promiscuity being so much a part of his life.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and I think that his struggle is so informative and so helpful for us because we see, again, this guy that we think of as a great saint, and he was in the end, such a role model of faith but he's also a role model of struggle and of God's goodness. In his confessions, he said, you know, God, you always guarded my heart. You always guarded me. So he looks back on his life. He looks back on these struggles and the doubts that he had. And what he sees as an older adult is God's faithfulness in loving him, in seeking him, in drawing him, and keeping him kind of stirred up like he was.
Yes.
You know, he couldn't be satisfied as he was. And so when he had this, finally, you know, he had an experience of hearing God's voice and giving over his life to God. He said this line that many of us have heard, it's very famous. You know, God, you have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. And it was that restlessness that kept him going as God drew him. So there is the back and forth of seeking faith, and when he finally did give his heart and his life over, his relationship with his mother was restored. You know, he became a pastor, a minister. He returned to Africa and became a leader in the church there, and, you know, really became a leader for all of us. So, you know, I was telling you over the break that I work with college students a lot. That's the ministry of Theological Horizons, is the ministry that I direct here in Charlottesville. And I love to tell students this story because they can see themselves in his story, and they can have hope in that. And they can, you know, when they're feeling that struggle, you know, sometimes even just knowing what's right for you, knowing where you want to be, who you want to be, that gives you hope and it gives you some courage to kind of make those tough choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, Karen Wright Marsh, as she mentioned, is ministering to the students at the University of Virginia. She lives in the Bonhoeffer House, is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of our favorite mentors and older brothers in the faith. He was born in 1906, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany. And he is known for standing up to Hitler, for acting in the resistance, and for ultimately giving his life for his resistance to Hitler. He was captured by the Gestapo and sadly was executed by the Third Reich regime. But he was a man who loved community. He loved his brothers and sisters in the faith. And he loved hospitality. He loved good food. He loved coming together. So my husband, Charles Marsh, and I moved to Charlottesville in the year 2000. So it's been almost 20 years now with our family. And we just had a vision of a space, of a home where we could welcome people, you know, in the name of Christ to meals, to conversations, to faith that's lived at the table, you know, by a fireplace. And Charles is a professor here at the University of Virginia. He teaches the Christian theology at UVA. So we named our house the Bonhoeffer House. We named it that. And in hopes that we would kind of carry the spirit of hospitality and welcome. So for almost 20 years, we have had this space, which is the Center for the Ministry of Theological Horizons. And every Friday, I make a big homemade lunch for students, and we've just grown out of the living room, actually. We've had to move to a bigger space, but we welcomed 40, 50, 60 undergrads now for a lunch every Friday, and we talk about these vintage saints and sinners, and the lunch is called Vintage. So for years and years, undergrads have come and learned the stories of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Augustine and Howard Thurman and all these great people, and that's how this book That's the root of this book, are these conversations that we've had here in the living room at the Bonhoeffer House. So it's been a really special personal journey that I've taken with these in this space of the Bonhoeffer House.
Working with the students and with this being truly a ministry, but a ministry that has called for, in many ways, sacrifice.
Yes. Well, I think anybody who has shared hospitality, especially in their home, knows that it can be messy, it can be inconvenient. Things burn in the kitchen, and sometimes family members aren't ready for company. They come down in their pajamas, or, you know, it's real life. And Yeah, so you're on to something, Carl. And it's been, you know, it's been an up and down. It's not an open door all the time. And mm-hmm. I think we've had to learn, too, you know, what do our children need? They're all out of the house now. The last one just left for college. But, you know, when is it time to close the door and kind of make it time for family? And when is it time to bring people in? But I think hospitality, it can be something so small. It doesn't have to be gourmet food or, you know, 24/7. It can be walking, inviting somebody to walk the dog with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, or making a pot of soup.
I tell you, that's awesome. That real world, everybody, I'm telling you, real life.
Very.
When we come back,
real,
Karen, to say too real sometimes. Karen, which of the ladies will you discuss with us when we come back?
Oh, which lady would,
yes,
I like, ma'am, to discuss?
Yeah.
I would like to talk about Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, I think. How would you like that?
That'd be great. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Up next, a discussion of Miss Fannie Lou Hamer, our guest. Miss Karen Wright Marsh, and I will be right back.